This is a message delivered by Pastor Hon on July 25th. The scripture passage is from a letter to the Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, and the message title is, What is it like a Christian? Good morning. Let us read Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Last week, we learned from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that the saints in Christ are travelers and temporary residents in this world. And today, from the same passage, I would like us to think about what happens within us when we receive all the spiritual blessings in heaven. Today's sermon title is, What is it like a Christian? All of us Christians can be at a loss or confused about this. We think something would change dramatically once we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. But we find there is no big change in our personality or character. Every Christian has a question to ask himself or a question that is asked by someone else. It is the question, are you really a Christian as you are, or am I a Christian? In other words, even though I received all the spiritual blessings in heaven, I sometimes feel terribly confused that I'm not so different from what I used to be. We are confused that we are not like pure and right people to fit the image of so-called Christian-like Christians. Believing in Jesus all at once, eliminating the hatred feelings towards anybody, greed withering away, the desire to share with others overwhelming possessiveness, completely becoming disinterested in what seems to be inhuman, or no longer being tempted by them. I'm still at a loss by the fact that a sin lives within me. This confusion was also experienced by the Apostle Paul, the author of the letter to the Ephesians. Let us read Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 24. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? This confession of Paul is not only the anguish of the Christian Apostle Paul, but also our own anguish. If a Christian has to stop hating people, losing your desires, and no longer falling into temptation, Paul, a great evangelist, preacher, and apostle, or any of us Christians, can no longer be called Christians. Whether humanly, ethically, or morally, or knowing what is good or evil, none of us meets at all the expectation of mankind or the level that God requires from us through the law of the Bible. It seems that Christians are no different from non-Christians in terms of appearance, ethics, morals, personality, or characters. There are many good people who are not Christians, and there are also people who look more like Christians than Christians. So, what is the differentiation of Christians? In Romans chapter 7, verse 24, Paul describes himself as, "What a wretched man I am." But let's look at the following passage, Romans chapter 7, verse 25. "Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." I don't know what happened between verses 24 and 25. In verse 24, Paul confessed his misery so painfully by saying, "What a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from the body that is subject to death?" In verse 25, all of a sudden, a confession of joy comes out. Suddenly, there is a confession of joy and gratitude that seems to be out of the context, but this sudden confession of joy is the reason why Christians are Christians. Now here, as Paul confesses, "I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." The confusion about the contradictions within Paul himself is not wiped out completely. He is open about his contradiction, but dares to say, "Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." I personally named this attitude of Paul secretly as the holy so what attitude in Christ. But in fact, this attitude of Paul is the reason why Christians are Christians. The contradictions within yourself honestly and openly is an important spiritual symptom that appears in Christians. If you look up the word symptom in the dictionary, you will find that it is a state of illness or injury, physical and mental abnormalities due to illness. Because we have been given all the spiritual blessings, our eyes were opened, our dead spirits have been revived, and our sensitivity towards God has been restored. Because we realize that the cross of Jesus Christ was for our sins, that the eternal life and inheritance of the kingdom of heaven is promised, and because our ears were opened to hear the word of God, we are able to clearly recognize the symptoms of being a sinner. Until then, it was not possible to recognize the wide variety of symptoms that appear in sinners, and because we did not clearly recognize those symptoms, there was no way for us to avoid the eternal destruction. Since Christ gave us eternal life and made us belong to heaven, it became clear that we are sinners. The Apostle Paul's confession of struggle and confusion about the sin was caused by becoming a Christian, and it was a feeling that was not there before he accepted Jesus Christ. Therefore, this sudden confession of delight of Paul does not justify the contradiction of doing the evil that he does not want to do while not doing the good that he wants to do. Although he was still struggling and at a loss, with the contradiction, it was his confession that came out as the joy towards the transcendent grace that he received all the spiritual blessings that far surpassed the struggle or confusion. No matter how deep the struggle and confusion might be, Paul could not be put into eternal destruction by the sin that was the cause of the struggle and confusion. The deeper the struggle and confusion is, the deeper the gratitude for all the spiritual blessings in heaven given by Christ. As a matter of fact, Paul shows with a courageous and open confession that it is this confusion of good and evil, the law of God and the law of sin, and the spiritual and the physical that are mixed within us, that is the most important sign and evidence that we believers are believers. Imagine how many people have been saved, comforted, or encouraged for the last 2,000 years by this honesty of Paul. And I myself have been saved and encouraged many times. Because of this struggle and confusion, I'm able to stand on the assurance of the salvation that has occurred to me. We sometimes easily use the words and thoughts of not like Christians for ourselves and others, based on the worldly common sense and ethical morality that people think of. Paul's confession tells us that we Christians are not primarily weighed by our ethical or moral deeds, human qualities, or personality. On the contrary, what can be weighed is whether or not there is confusion in us about sins because of Jesus Christ. In other words, what is important is whether or not the engine of conscience, which was asleep and not working before believing in Christ, is lit up in front of God, not in front of humans, causing struggles and confusions for sin in us. The confusion and struggle with this sin confirms that we Christians have been made Christians. Of course, that doesn't mean that you no longer have to resist the sin, that you may give up good deeds, or that you don't have to be interested in such things. Those who appreciate God through Christ will have a desire to do good deeds in a completely different dimension from what they used to be, even if they do not want to do good deeds themselves. Because of the battle between the desire and sin, we are led to do good deeds despite confusion and struggle. It is said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." It is said that our good deeds are not done because we are good, but that even the good deeds we do are prepared by God, and that even the self-praise of our deeds makes us feel uncomfortable. Therefore, you can have peace of mind while being at a loss, worrying, and struggling. Our struggle and confusion are spiritual battles that we have not experienced before, and these confusion and struggles are the most obvious sign that we are Christians. So don't worry. The question, "Are you really a Christian?" or the question, "Am I really a Christian?" does not disqualify us as Christians. On the contrary, the fact that such a question appears is proof that I am a Christian now. As for me, I used to live far from this question, "Are you really a Christian?" or "Am I really a Christian?" that arose from the blessings I received. But now, we are in all the spiritual blessings of heaven, we belong to heaven, and we are in the execution of God's plan, which is built up in love as the body of Christ. People tend to immediately conclude that you are not what you are supposed to be because people try to judge things by pride or profit and loss account, by man's righteousness or their own righteousness. But a seed of the eternal life has been planted in us by righteousness of God, and we are living our life in the growth process of the seed of eternal life. You can be proud that we have been saved from the self-depreciation of I am worthwhile, or the pride to say, oh, I am the one, that the seeds of life of Jesus Christ have been planted in us, that the seeds are in the process of growth, and you can openly say, because I am as I am a Christian. I myself have had countless times that I was said, well, but every time I say, yes, I am a pastor. I'm not the pure, correct pastor, but because of Jesus' compassion and love, the highest grace is given to me of being a pastor, and I proudly say I am a pastor. Life grows over time. When I put a 100 yen coin in a vending machine and press a button, a bottle of completely cold Coke comes out. But it is a big mistake or misunderstanding to mechanically expect and evaluate a Christian that once you believe in Jesus and become a Christian, you have a complete personality and character. Certainly, a change is happening. However, it takes time to change. Have you ever seen a tree seed? Most tree seeds are only rice grain sized or even smaller. Therefore, even if the small seeds are planted on the ground, the appearance of the ground is no different from that without seeds. I do not even recognize where they were planted. However, it is true that seeds are planted on one land and not on the other land. As time goes by, there will be a big difference. The seeds sprout, the sprouts grow, they grow higher, the leaves spread, and eventually the flowers bloom and fruits are born. Some rest in the shade of the tree. Others eat the fruit and connect the life, store water, create clear air, and maintain the ecosystem that must be in the land. Moreover, there are many trees over 100 years old. There are trees that are 1,000 years old or even 2,000 years old. And I have been to see the giant sequoia tree, which is said to be the largest tree in the world, and it is 2,200 years old, 84 meters high, and weighs 1,900 tons. It is really beautiful. The reason for the longevity of this tree is that the seed was first sown and planted firmly on the ground. The small seeds are very small, but because they are life, they certainly grow. It may grow. In the process of growth, there is a time of drought that is about to kill the tree, a strong wind that is about to knock down the tree from its root, a forest fire, heavy rains that wash away, and illness. Of course, there is also a refreshing autumn weather, and there is also Indian summer. Also, depending on the type of trees, the growth rate is different, and the size, leaf color, and flower color are also different. However, seeds that are firmly planted on the ground grow so that anyone can see that they are beautiful trees, even if they do not know where the seeds were planted originally. The life in Jesus Christ will grow over time. There is sunshine, there is a shortage of water, there are strong winds, sometimes it is sunny in autumn, and sometimes there is an Indian summer, and it surely grows. Let us read a letter to the Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God, who planted the seeds of life by Jesus Christ in us and started to grow and complete it to the point where he is satisfied and pleased. God, who planted a seed of life in Jesus Christ within us and began the work, will raise it till he is satisfied and pleased and completed. We are not forced to walk there, we are not forced to walk where we do not know whether or not it will be completed, but we are guided and walking through the process that has already been decided to be completed. And we are the saints in Christ who received all the spiritual blessings of heaven, and we are allowed to live the life that has already been decided, that at the time of God, beautiful flowers will bloom, the rich fruits will be enjoyed with God, and God will be praised. Paul, who became a prisoner because he was a Christian and was in prison, teaches us the spiritual perspective that is like watching a video of soccer match whose winner is already known. In that video, I learn that no matter how many suicidal own goal points are scored by my supporting team, even how many team members are thrown out of the game that forced the team to play the game in the inferior position throughout the game, we know that the team will win in the end. The more serious the pain of the soccer match, with peace of mind. Whether we are in prison, beaten, lonely, or poor, of course we feel pain, hurting, and suffering from the perspective of the unwavering fact that we are victorious in Christ helps us live in Christ. That's why Paul says this in the letter to the Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I do have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. The deeper the hardships, confusion, and struggles are, the more the spiritual blessings in Christ will be highlighted. The closer we will be to God, the more we pray to shout to God, the more we rely on God. We cannot take our eyes off God. Finally, I'd like us to look at one more Bible passage. Book of Genesis, chapter 17, 1 through 8. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase you, your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Decades before the content of chapter 17, Abraham was told by God, I bless you and bless all the people on this earth through you and through your son. You would be the father of as many people as stars in the sky and as many as the sands of the sea. However, while expecting the promise from God, he could not believe and wait, and he had a child with his female slave, and he committed a blunder, big mistake, and unbelief that God would fulfill his promise through the child he made, Abraham made on his own thoughts, his plan, and his own power. God appeared to such Abraham and said to him the words of Genesis chapter 17 that we just read. What is God saying? I am the Almighty God. Your blunders, failures, and unbelief will not cancel or interfere with my plans and promises. I am Almighty and God. As originally planned, I will bless people through the child I will give you, and through the child I give you, the descendants will be like the sands of the sea or the stars of the sky, and I will make you realize that I am the Almighty God. In fact, after this, 100-year-old Abraham was given a son, Isaac, from whom David was born, Jesus Christ was born. Those who believed in Jesus Christ and made Abraham a spiritual father were countless children like the sand of the sea and the stars in heaven. They were given and blessed. And in addition to us who are the saints in Christ, who became the spiritual descendants of Abraham, God promises, I am Almighty God. Regardless of your blunders, failures, or unbelief, the plans and promises I have made will not be cancelled or disturbed. Your suffering will not end in tragedy. You will surely stand as a glorious being on the days set in Christ Jesus as a holy, woundless, spotless person. Therefore, we cannot help but praising God. So we don't have to be impatient with ourselves or with others, because God will accomplish His work. Let us pray.